I'm a fragile 13-year-old that just needs constant positive reinforcement.
Two, one.
All right.
Okay.
Everyone's ready, right? I think we can get started.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the first podcast. And if you were wondering what happened to all the other ones before this, there were none. So get used to it, idiot.
Amazing moments.
That's all I got. I would add some sound effects in there, like a boyoyoing, or like a auga. Good.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Pat. Thank you for being with us today. My name is Joe. I'm going to be the co-host today, and with us, as always, we have Lars. So thank you again, and why don't we jump right in? Pat, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, my name is Pat Graziosi. I am from the YouTube channel Life Noggin. It's an animated education channel, and we make videos all about things like why do we itch, or what would happen if all the cats on Earth died, stuff like that, questions that everyone's totally asking themselves all the time. And I also have a channel called Undo Circle, where me and my friends play drawing games, and we have fun and doodle.
How did you get started on Life Noggin?
I saw a bunch of my, I guess, the education peers start making those types of videos, educational videos, and then I thought, well, I really like art, and I also have a lot of acne on my face, and I don't want to actually be in the videos, so how can I make this and not show my face? And so I made a little character that did not have a face, just completely blank, and he'll never get acne unless I decide to add that in at some point.
Ah, to be in control of one's acne.
Yes, because normally you're not, ever, at all. Mm-mm. But I decided to take back control. Damn it.
I had a lot of acne too when I was growing up, well into my mid-20s.
Did your dermatologist ever tell you to that you're gonna grow out of it, so don't worry?
You know, I don't know if I ever saw a dermatologist. I saw like my primary care physician, and they gave me like various things that didn't really work, but so I just kind of waited it out. I told myself I would grow out of it.
Mm.
I was my own dermatologist, you could say.
Yeah, that's I had a lot of sit downs with myself and saying like, don't worry, you're gonna grow out of this, and everyone is going to love your face. And then I ended up going to the dermatologist again, and then they were like, yeah, you're probably gonna get acne for the rest of your life, because that's just how it works. And what? I was like, oh, okay.
Did it hinder your dating life, like me?
It didn't hinder my dating life. I currently have a wonderful fiance named Sam, who I'm going to get married to very soon. Thank you. So she saw right through that acne. She scanned my face, did a little x-rays, liked what was underneath, and said, yeah, I'm going to get married to this person.
Nice.
Just normally how it works.
Lars, are you there?
This episode is sponsored by Audible, Amazon, and patrons like yourself. We'll go ahead and get into that a little bit later. I see Joe has a tab open on his browser saying, what are the most basic questions I can possibly ask a podcast guest? So thank you for that, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I bring that to the table.
So what inspires you in those kinds of questions? So, okay.
This is the acne podcast.
Oh, God.
Hit me.
Wait. By the way, Pat, just out of curiosity, do you have any content rating preferences here?
I... normally I don't care as long as nobody's being racist or homophobic. I'm all good.
True.
There was going to be a lot of that, but I guess we can forego it this time.
Just skip it for this podcast and the rest of them. Go for it.
Pat, how do you know Illumation?
So I knew Illy through one of my other friends, and then she kind of was doing YouTube, and then we started talking. We got ramen because she was working for one of my other friends, Alex Clark, and then she was going off and doing her own thing, and then I kind of like gave her some YouTube tips, and the rest was history.
Okay, yeah, because she was the one who referred you to us.
Yeah, she's super nice.
Yeah, that's the one way I would describe her. Yeah, one of the nicest people I've ever met, just like straight up.
Yeah, I'm hoping to win that that trophy by the end of this. Like the nicest person you've ever met.
Yeah, some pretty stiff competition so far.
Yeah, well
you know, she set the bar pretty high, but you seem pretty nice so far.
I'm thinking of buying everybody that's involved in this podcast a pizza. Could I buy your glove? Is that possible?
Oh, that's a very kind gesture.
Is it time to deliver a pizza ball?
Time to deliver a pizza ball.
Now, Pat, if it would appease you, in order to make you seem more nice, I can be real mean. If, you know, that way juxtaposed to my meanness, you seem even nicer.
Joe, you're just saying that because you're usually a dick, and you're trying to mask that in some sort of benevolent gesture.
If you'd like, Pat, I could do that for you.
Okay, so
please don't
tell me now. Just because I'm new here, and you know, you guys don't really know me either. Like, what would you say would be the meanest thing you could say to me right now to make me feel really nice?
Ooh,
to make me seem nice.
Oh, well, if I was to say something mean to make you seem nice, it would probably have to be directed towards Lars. I wouldn't want to. Yeah, or I could insult you and make you seem like the underdog, but that would make me a bad host.
That's a good story. I feel like we have something here.
Good, good. Lars, what about you? What would you say that's mean to make Pat seem nice?
Oh, I would say, did you bring up wanting to give us pizzas because it reminds you of your face when you were younger? Oh!
Wow, no, that's really good. That's really good. Now, I don't know if you guys have crying time on this podcast, like just some,
we can now.
Yeah, some space to just maybe just sulk for a little bit. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Crying Time with your host, Pat. It's a podcast within a podcast where we just sit down and let out a good cry. Can't afford therapy. Boy, yo, 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 yo.
We actually have a decent amount of people that, like, the fans will make stuff like the second podcast, and they'll record something for us, and it gets kind of meta, so I understand the desire there.
I personally love a good cry. Nothing really is as cathartic as a nice crying. I've actually written songs about crying, poems.
Sex with a Beautiful Woman?
Yes, especially sex with, I mean, that's nice too.
No, not crying because of that. I'm saying that's probably more of an important experience.
Sure, sure. Now combine that with my love of crying and you're in for a real treat.
Oh, dear Lord. Oh, someone in the chat says, I pay you guys $2 a month on Patreon, make the crying thing real. So go ahead, Joe.
Oh, you want me to cry right now?
Yeah.
Let it out.
Like real tears?
Are you capable?
Oh, do you have that ability? Are you a real actor?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious.
Yeah, I can cry, but I'm a silent crier, so I'll do it now.
Wow. All
right, I just cried. Insert like 10 seconds of silence, Lars.
Joe, if I wanted to insert 10 seconds of silence, I'd just have you tell a joke.
Wow. You're crushing it, dude.
Being the dick so that, Pat, you can be the nice one of the episode if you want.
Oh, okay, here you go. Hey, listen, guys, I think everyone's nice. That's all I got. I haven't been really that nice before. Let me try again. I wish that we could bake a cake full of rainbows and sunshine and eat it.
That sounds quite nice.
No, that was for Mean Girls.
Oh, Pat, before we started recording, you had mentioned that you're from New York, and I am too, because, well, I'm from New Jersey, which is the same.
Oh, let me tell you, I'm going to be not so nice right now. No, it's not. Listen, no, we can talk about this.
No, it's the same. Yeah, we're from the same place.
Okay, we're from the same place, like, if we were in a shopping mall. Those two stores exist, but they have nothing to do with each other, and one is better.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? They're exactly the same.
Okay.
New York has bagels, New Jersey has bagels. New York has pizza, New Jersey has pizza. What more is, you know?
Well, you know what? Actually, New Jersey does have something that New York does not have, and that is sulfur factories that pump fart smell into the air that you cannot avoid.
That's true. I have heard New Jersey described as America's fart factory.
It is, yeah. Now, Florida did have that distinction for a very long time, but New Jersey definitely took it away.
Oh, wow. Do you know when that, like, what year that transition occurred?
I think it was 1996, I'm pretty sure. It was the fart fiasco of 96, I'm almost positive. Now,
fart fiasco of 96?
Well, everyone knows. Yes.
I'm familiar, of course.
Right. I mean,
please tell me about this.
Why don't we let Pat tell you about it? I could, sure, but Pat seems to want to tell you about the fart fiasco.
Yeah, I mean,
even though I could, because I know about it.
Sure, of course. I am in part of an education channel, so it is my duty to educate. No pun intended.
Thank you.
And I think so. As far as the fart fiasco goes, I think that was when all of the people from Florida, they went up and moved. All the people from Florida went up and they moved to New Jersey all at the same time, and then they all collectively, because of that, there was such a large mass of people there. They all, you know, they farted. I want to think of the scientific term, but they farted, and the cloud over New Jersey was so massive, and it blocked out the sun, and it was winter there for, I believe,
6 years, right?
Yeah, 6 years. Right. I was trying to get it. Yes, 6 years. And it was never the same after that.
No, but it was really the same before that, too. It was already kind of like there was a farty cloud above it before that, too. It just made it more official.
Right, yes. And now, it's really trendy to love the environment and be green. It's really important that everyone in New Jersey does that double, even more, because we're really trying to say there's the ozone layer and then there's the F-zone layer, which is the fart zone.
Of course.
And that is blocking out even more harmful things. So we need actually that to clear so that the earth can finally breathe again. It's all about saving the planet. I know you guys are super environmentally conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's why you guys didn't fly me out to record this.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason. Yeah,
I mean, we offered.
I don't think the fart fiasco is the official term. I looked up fart fiasco Florida, and I saw some stories about Florida people, but I didn't see any mass migration events. So,
well, you were brought up in the United States, correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't really learn everything there is to learn in high school. I mean, there's several things that you didn't know about in throughout history that the history teacher couldn't possibly have taught you. And
there's not enough time to cover everything, Lars.
Of course. So you're not going to know. And if you were to do a search on the internet, I mean, it's a lot of uneducated people kind of going out about through life that they don't know this stuff. They just haven't been told. And so they're not going to be able to put it on the internet. But it's a thing that everyone kind of knows. They just never talk about.
Yeah, and some things that are on the internet aren't really true either. So just because you see something on the internet doesn't mean it's true, and something that's true might not be on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you searched fart fiasco Florida. You meant to search fart fiasco New Jersey.
Exactly. Try searching for that, and then you're probably going to get something.
And if it's not there, it doesn't mean anything either. Because what we're saying is true.
I'm looking up fart fiasco Jersey. I'm getting a lot of Etsy and Teespring links to fart t-shirts.
See? Yeah, well, commemorating the fiasco.
Exactly, absolutely.
Oh, it says here, New Jersey wife insists that farting in front of your husband improves your relationship and increases intimacy. I don't know if I believe that.
See? That was part of the fiasco.
There was such turmoil with all of the people going to New Jersey and that happening. It did definitely caused a strain.
Now, Pat.
Yes.
Would you say that in New York, it's considered a faux pas to fart onto somebody?
Yeah, I would say that it is. I would say it's more of a fart paw for sure. But
nicely done.
I think that if you're going to walk around, and this is actually, I'm retiring this bit, but if you walk around New York, and people crop dust throughout New York all the time, because it's so easy. Everyone's just going to think it's garbage. It's a smell of, you know, either a dog peeing on the street or the garbage that they left out. But I remember specifically there was one moment, I was about 11 or 12, and my dad used to be a chauffeur for this rich guy that you drive into the city a lot. And I remember one day I got to go into the car with him, and then we were stopped at this random spot in New York City, and the window rolled down, and I saw a man pooping in a garbage can. And it was one of those recycling bins. It was a very short, square one. And so he's going to the bathroom in this garbage can, and the window was down, and I said to my dad, I said, "Hey, what is that man doing?" And my dad goes,
"Why don't you mind your business? You wouldn't like it if someone was staring at you going to the bathroom."
And the guy is just minding his own business, trying to go to the bathroom. And it was that moment I learned to just mind my frickin' business and let everyone just do their thing and don't question it. So I would say if you were to fart on somebody in New York City, as long as you weren't like really, really close to them and on them, I think they would just kind of walk past you.
Just mind your own business. It's like, hey, did you fart on me? Mind your own business.
Mind your business. Get out of here. I don't know if you've ever seen like photos of people on like the New York City subway, and they're like dressed up as like maybe like a gorilla or like in a banana suit or whatever, and no one cares. No one's looking at all.
No.
And it's just because they've seen it before.
It's all this is really doing right now is making me realize I really enjoy living in California by comparison, because nobody farts on each other. No one just poops outside.
Well, some people poop outside.
No one wears a gorilla costume unless it's for like an event.
Mm-hmm. Some people wear a gorilla costume.
And just bodily fluids are kept to yourselves and dumped in private receptacles. It's nice.
I will say I was in Europe recently. I just came back a couple days ago. And while I was in Phoenix Park in Dublin, I was walking and this guy walks past me and makes eye contact with me. And right when he's like next to me, he farts and keeps going. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it was just like by chance or if he was like punishing me for doing something wrong or like, and that happened a couple of times. There were people, not like eye contact.
Were you being an asshole of a tourist or something? Or was there context or?
No, well, I mean, it was only just the two of us. As far as I know, I was just minding my own business, but he probably could tell I was a tourist because I was wearing like a hoodie.
Wait, so he came up to you and he lifted his leg and he just like actually brushed one onto you, or was it just kind of in the vicinity?
No, well, I'm walking one way on a footpath in a park and he's walking the other way. He goes down some stairs. I'm walking towards the stairs to go up.
Wait, so he's just staring at you and he's like just rips one and like looks into your eyes?
Well, we make eye contact as we're passing each other because people in Europe.
And that's when the fart happens.
And then he's like, when he's the closest to me, that's when he rips one, and I'm just like taken aback. I'm surprised, but
I think God tests us in mysterious ways sometimes. You know,
that's a real mysterious way in that case.
Yeah, I think that sometimes you know you don't know really what it is until years later, and then it you know just clicks. But sometimes it just happens, and you have to just kind of read it. You know, get real close, really really close. Let it all in and kind of like try to figure out what that message is, you know?
I'm thinking about what you're saying.
I'm not convinced that I want to just accept people's farts in my life.
Well, so I think that maybe the test here is like, what would I do if a man farts on me? And I just kept going. I wasn't confrontational. I didn't, you know, what am I going to say? Did you just fart on me?
Well, yeah, what's going to be a good outcome of going up to him and being like, yo, bitch? Like, it's not going to be a pleasant exchange.
Right,
well,
right.
You know, you fart on them back. I feel if someone's going to step to you, toot on you, like, your parents might have brought you up to say, like, if someone is hurting you, like, you need to defend yourself. You know, if somebody is farting on you, I think that you should probably fart back. And now if yours is louder, I think, or smellier, I don't really know how this works. I've never had this situation happen to me, but you know, if that does happen, I'm assuming if yours is more grand, then that person just kind of admits defeat and walks away.
Yeah, I'm actually an expert on the fart competition. Whoever has the loudest, smelliest fart becomes the alpha farter.
Ah. And
they receive the belt of the weaker, inferior farter. Joe, they take off their belt.
I have a question. I have a question for you. Did you think that when you were going to be having Pat from Life Noggin on this podcast that we would be diving into this? Did you think that this was going to be the outcome? Did you think I was going to hit you with some like facts or what? What did you expect?
Well, I mean, you heard the Illumation episode in which we talked about poop.
I don't know about you guys, but like that sounds like my experience every time I use the restroom. So I
poop, peeing, and vomiting. Poop, peeing, and vomiting.
I mean, you just gotta let it all out, and then you don't have to do anything for another month.
So, I mean, it's kind of like a recurring theme is bodily functions on the podcast.
I knew it was a distinctive possibility.
Yeah.
Distinctive.
But we can
we please move on from farts as a topic? It's not the most mature thing to discuss.
Yes, let's, caviar.
Yeah, let's talk about caviar. When I was a kid, my parents wanted me to learn more about caviar, so they hired a caviar tutor, if you will.
I had when I was a kid, I was terrible. I'm still terrible at math, but when I was a kid, I was really bad at math. And I had a tutor come and help me. And that there was one day where I was trying to get the tutor to leave. I recently watched Home Alone. And I thought like, oh, I can't like set up traps as intricate as the kid from Home Alone, but I could probably get this tutor to like be grossed out or something and then walk away and like leave and say they have to go. And my dumbass kid brain decided, okay, I am going to draw on a coin. I'm going to get a quarter and I'm going to get Sharpie on a coin and I'm going to leave it on the ground. And then I'm going to turn it over and then when it on a clean side. And then when the tutor walks in, she's going to see that quarter. She's going to pick it up and get Sharpie all over her hands. Ugh. And then she's going to have to leave. Like that was my thought. And I thought it was genius. She comes in, she picks up the quarter. The Sharpie was dry by then. Nothing got on her finger. She put the quarter in her pocket. I watched her sit down and just continued or just start to teach me things. And she walked away. She left with the quarter. She didn't acknowledge. She didn't ask like, oh, is this yours? She just stole that quarter from the ground.
Stole your quarter.
That was mine.
From a child.
You think she still has it, guys?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, was it like a special quarter in some way, or was it just like standard currency?
Well, it was special in that it was mine, and I could have used it for. Oh, okay, yeah. I wanted to use it for gum.
It had Sharpie on one half.
Yeah, so that's got to be rare. It's worth more.
But that doesn't increase the value of the currency.
Does it not? Because I just added more things to the quarter. I added ink to it. Wouldn't that mean that there's more value?
She could sell that ink on the black market.
Thank you.
The black market, because it's a Sharpie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, yeah, it was actually a purple Sharpie, but it's fine. For the sake of it, I could have just lied and went along with it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you did say, we were talking about New York, I've been in L.A. for, like, almost 3 years now, but I moved to Virginia, and then from Virginia, I moved to L.A., and we did a cross-country trip. And as we were making this trip, I thought to myself, as I was seeing all these places, and I was like, man, it's going to be really hard to top. Look at these beautiful scenery that we're passing. As soon as we got out of kind of like the East Coast area, it was just like, wow, this is so beautiful. Then we got to Kansas. Mm-hmm. And wow, is it just nothing? Is it absolutely nothing? And then we left Kansas and it's like 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours to just get through the whole nothingness of it.
So, Pat, you do realize that most of our patrons are from Kansas.
Well, I don't think they're going to be insulted because that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, we're just stating facts.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about it. Yes, there's
you're like, oh, nothing bad. It's just nothing at all. It might as well not exist. It's just pointless.
Well, I mean, you said that. I definitely didn't say that. I just said there was nothing there. And then as soon as we left, I was like, oh, wow, it's beautiful. there's so much more to see.
We have 48 states. We talk some shit on New Jersey, talk some shit on Kansas. We have 48 states to get through before we don't have any more fans in America.
I don't think we're going to be able to get through everything. But I mean, is there any questions that you guys have for me? I feel like I'm just like talking nonsense here. That's not what this podcast is about.
Well, all right. So I guess I have a question that comes to mind. You obviously have many diverse interests, it seems. Do you have like one interest above all else?
One interest above?
One interest that raises above the rest of your interests? Like one life passion or something?
Probably photography. I like taking photos a lot. That's what I've been doing for a while. I had a DeviantArt. I mean, I still have a DeviantArt, but I definitely don't want to say what it is on here. I had a DeviantArt, and I used to upload all my photos there, and I would be very involved in the photography community on DeviantArt. And there were these chat rooms, there were these forums that you can go on. And I remember you can like submit like three of your photos every like 20 minutes or something like that. And so I submitted some of the photos, and when somebody would give me feedback, if it wasn't positive, I would get really upset. and
makes sense.
And I'm a fragile 13-year-old that just needs constant positive reinforcement. But then one person one day when I was uploading the photos added me and went, "These are all right," and then didn't say anything else. And I'm waiting for them to say more, and I'm like, "Objection! No. They're either bad or they're good." And he was just like, "Objection! No. They're all right." And it still, to this day, bothers me. You didn't give me any constructive criticism. You just went, "Eh." And it fueled me to be a better photographer, really.
That's interesting. So because the feedback was neither very positive or very negative, it caused you to want to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what fueled you to be the better photographer.
Yeah, I just wanted to please that one individual person, really, and get them to see, like, I wanted to find out what they liked.
That's a trap, though. That's such a trap. It's so easy. You get 10 comments on something, 9 five stars. And that's great, and you will never care about those again. And you get the one that's like even a 4 out of 5 stars, and it'll just ruin your life. I don't know. I get it, but it's like you can't do that indefinitely. It'll just destroy your soul.
Yeah, I know. I try to get just like we get a lot of comments on Life Noggin that are asking us, you know, to answer specific you know, questions, scientific questions. But sometimes we get, and because it's not me, again, on Life Noggin, it's the host, Blocko. I'm voicing it, but, like, the character is the host. So when someone says anything bad about Blocko, like, you know, whatever, sure. I get it. I made him so incredibly, like, a blank slate. It's really hard to point out anything out. But then when people are like,
"Blocko's voice is, like, really annoying."
And I just sit there and I'm like, "God, I want to reply so bad." Like, no, it's not. There's plenty of people that have annoying voices. I'm not one of them. But then I think that in my brain, I'm like, "Oh, you sound really annoying right now."
I don't mean this to be offensive in any way, by the way, but I just wanted to point out you have like a good generic guy sounding voice where it's like, it's actually kind of good for that kind of thing. So I actually don't understand that criticism at all.
Thank you.
You sound like a dude who does voiceover for a YouTube channel. Like that's like what you were born to do. So like it makes sense. I wonder why people are bothered by it.
No, when I came out of the womb, the doctors were saying like, "Wow, this guy has a really generic cry. He'd be great for podcasts or."
So did the doctor turn to your parents and go like, "You should get him on YouTube," and they're like, "On what?" Like, "You'll see."
Yeah, and then the doctor materialized away.
And it was God.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, God.
And he moved to New Jersey.
And then that's it. And then the rest is history. Obviously, the fart fiasco of 1996.
Full circle.
And there you go.
Wait, shit, that was a compliment. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to be doing that.
Oh, right. You were supposed to be mean to me to make me look better.
Mm-hmm.
it was kind of a backhanded compliment because you kind of said he has like a generic sounding guy voice.
Yeah. It was definitely kind of passive aggressive.
Generic is good for voiceover, though. Like, I don't mean generic in like the rude way. I mean it in like the voice that someone can listen to repeatedly and continuously and not get pissed off.
Mm. Now, would you say that if you were to listen to my voice over and over again, that you would get bored of it?
No.
Really? So then I would say that my voice would be not... I feel like it wouldn't be generic. I feel like if anything, every time you listen to it, it'd be a little different.
Well, I think the boredom would set in eventually for any voice.
What about Mark Hamill?
Well, a little bit longer just because he's Mark Hamill, but yeah, eventually I would be like, okay, shut the fuck up. Yeah, I mean, like, there comes a point.
Every time I edit the audio for Life Noggin, so I'm editing my voice and just like I have to hear it over and over and over again, and let me tell you.
Oh,
I don't want to be listening to it over and over and over again.
Oh, by the way, Joe, I'm sure you can affirm this, but like there was a steep learning curve at the beginning where like I'd done some YouTube stuff before the podcast, but like I still wasn't completely used to hearing my voice back when we started this.
I was used to hearing my voice because I had done not as used to it as I am now, but when I was a kid, I would record my voice. And
when you were a kid, like, hey, my name is Joe, this is my... What are you talking here?
That was a good kid voice.
I used Nero Wave Editor to record, like, fake radio shows that never got released anywhere. And I already was familiar with my own... Like, I knew what my voice sounded like. When we started doing the podcast and I heard my voice, it didn't sound weird to me. Like, I already knew what my voice sounded like.
Really? Because on a different podcast... I was trying to give you a softball here, because on a different podcast, you said the exact opposite. You said you had a hard time adjusting to it.
I did. I said that. No, I didn't. But I don't remember saying that at all. I've always been comfortable with my own voice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I completely forgot what I said at the beginning of this podcast. So honestly, I mean, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Which podcast? The Show Me Yours podcast?
Nope. The first podcast. This is the first podcast, Joe.
I thought you said another podcast. You said on another podcast.
Another episode. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
words matter.
I mean, I can take that out and post if you want, Joe, but I mean, it is like I was actually trying to set you up for something there.
No, leave it in. Leave it in. It sounds funny.
Just you contradicting yourself over the course of the series.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That is actually kind of interesting. Like your perspective has changed over time.
Oh, that happens honestly, like every single day to me. Someone would be like, oh, don't you remember like saying this? And I'm like, they tell me like, oh, well, you told me this advice like a while back. And I'm like, did I? I don't remember that at all.
That doesn't sound like me.
Like, I told you that?
That doesn't sound like something I would say.
I was like, yeah, you told me to like wake up in the morning and write one like positive thing about myself so that I can start the day. I'm like, I don't do that. So I don't know if I was just like talking to you and hoping that I would hear that and go, yeah, I should probably do that too. Maybe that was it.
That sounds like the kind of thing you would do for about 5 days and then just give up and forget about forever.
Yeah, in the drawing community, we call that a sketchbook. And so it's you.
Right. That's great.
You were also, you mentioned ahead of this recording that you, and I think during the recording too, you moved to LA, right?
Wait, but before you continue, Joe, if someone's moving to LA and they have a lot of travel time and they need to listen to some audiobooks, what's a good way to do that?
audibletrial.com/T1podcast is your portal to audio heaven.
That's right, guys. Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free book on our behalf. That's free as in beer, not free as in freedom. You can get a free book and keep it whether you keep the service or not.
A free book! Can you believe it? Nothing in life is free, but it's a free book for you from us! From Lars and Joe.
It's not even free while you keep the service. It's free forever and you can just have it. But if you like the service, they start at very affordable monthly rates. One of the books that I'm not going to list off one I've been listening to, but one that we talked about on the last podcast is the series of Sherlock Holmes novels that I found out are narrated by Stephen Fry, of all people. That's actually going to be my next month's book. I'm really excited for that. Just to get into the series narrated by the Stephen Fry himself.
Editor's note, that episode is coming out after this one, so just listen to the podcast in reverse.
And when you sign up for the trial, you're actually supporting the first podcast. when you use the link audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Take a moment right now to go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Check it out. You'll thank us later.
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Hey, Pat, what's that URL again?
audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
Nicely done. All right. Joe, you were telling us, or you were prompting a story.
Yeah, have you seen any shitting people in LA?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yeah, it's very common. I don't know where you are exactly in California. You don't have to say, but
Orange
I think
County.
I think maybe get out of Orange County, go to like downtown Los Angeles, and I'm sure that you might find something like that. But no, I get asked all the time, not if somebody, if you've seen anybody crap, but like I get asked compare it to New York. It's way, way different because LA is so spread out and New York is very condensed.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have all of these different ideas of LA because of wherever they're, you know, staying at. And there's no like one cohesive kind of thing about LA other than like it's vapid a lot of people think people here are shallow, but yeah, it's a very stressful kind of place to be in, but so is New York. So there's a lot of like similarities between the two.
What do you like about LA versus New York?
The food in New York is better, but I would say that the options in LA, like when you get a really, really good spot in LA, it's like really good. And it's one of those like go-to spots. I think it's LA is probably, you have a lot more like, I'm trying to think of a positive here. The fish tacos are better.
Mexican food is way better.
Yeah. Mexican food's way better. People here are a lot more progressive. So that's good.
Than New York City?
Well, New York City, yeah, probably are progressive, but like, I think that it's definitely more in LA, I think just cause, California in general, just cause it's much bigger.
So on the like with subject, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say just that like New York, like if you go to upstate New York, it's pretty conservative. If you go to Long Island where I'm actually from, it's pretty conservative. And like Manhattan, like the five boroughs is where it's actually progressive versus you go to California and there's a lot more pockets of progressive.
What do you not like about LA?
Oh, there's a lot more that I don't like. No, I feel like the spots in the, or the things that I don't like about LA are very like nitpicky, but I like there's traffic, which is like the main thing that everyone says is bad in LA. But the thing about LA that I don't like is they ignore you, but I know they don't have anywhere to be. Whereas New York, like everyone's walking around and ignoring you, but they do have a place to go, like versus LA. Like you go to Santa Monica in LA and there's just a lot of people out and you're like, it can't be all your days off. Like how is there this many people at the beach right now?
Tourists too.
Oh, dang. Yeah, you got me.
I mean, wealthy people who just have absurd amounts of money and don't really need to be at work. But yeah, I get what you mean. People seem to just be busier in general. Just for no reason.
Yeah. It's also really hard to breathe here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because like here in South Orange County, not so much. But yeah, they're going to need to do something about that, man. It's
a lot of farts. Sorry. Sorry.
When I came back from Europe and I landed in L.A. and I stepped outside, I immediately smelt farts. And the it doesn't go away. You just get used to it. But yeah, it smells like farts here.
Yeah, I think I mask this or I ignore the smell for sure. Like I go nose blind to it. But I came here because Life Noggin was doing, you know, really well. And we wanted to be closer to a lot of connections. And my business partner, Ian, is out here. And so I thought it just makes sense to be in LA and be close to a lot of these opportunities.
Like the first podcast.
There you go. You got to be close to the first podcast. And I made that cross country trip because I knew one day I would be on a podcast. I just didn't know that it was going to be the first one, which I think is beautiful. I feel like I nailed it.
Thank you. Earlier we were talking about crying. I could do that now. Now I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Is it because I said a nice thing?
Yeah. They're tears of joy. I feel them. They're rolling down my face now.
I'm really happy that I got to make you cry.
Yeah. I love a good cry. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for the tears.
We're lucky enough when we got here to get some office space for Life Noggin, and what that turned into was a bunch of people who do YouTube would come out to LA and they would visit, and then they would make something there, or they would just stay there because they needed something to do. The whole office would be a complete mess. They would leave, and we'd go like, we should like make some stuff, right? Like, we should try to make some things.
Gadgets and gizmos?
Instead of having, no, like videos. Okay. We need to do something with this space. And so we set up this spot in the back that I think was at one point an old garage that was just converted into like whatever you wanted to do with it. So we made it, we turned it into a studio space, and we set up all these lights and we had all these backdrops, and we were like, yeah, we're going to do like more live action stuff. And none of the live action stuff really took off. And we ended up just kind of like just still running an animation channel, like not really needing the extra space. And so it was just like, it was this spot in the back. And every time I would go in it, I would go like, huh, I could do something with this. And then just not, I just didn't. I would just walk away from it and go like, yeah, no, it's fine. Never needed to. And I think the whole reason I bring that up is like, you go to LA, and you have this like grand idea of what you want to do, and there's all this opportunity, and you're like, I'm gonna stick with this thing, but like maybe I'll do that eventually.
By the way, Joe, speaking of which, we really lucked out that we started in Southern California. We never have to be like, oh, eventually we should probably move out to LA. We should probably, you know, go across the country if we want to be where the action is.
Yeah, I have my parents to thank for that one. I moved here when I was 3. So, and my parents didn't go like, hey, Joe, do you want to move to California at 3? One day maybe you'll do a podcast and it would be beneficial for you. They did it for their own reasons. You know, my dad got a job out here, but it ended up, you know, it really ended up helping
out.
You
okay, out. Joe? Holy shit. What the fuck?
What? Well, he just realizing that his whole life is a lie. Was that it?
Or that it was all planned from day one?
No, I just like doing that cadence. I don't know why. Where I'm like, and it's like, I don't like in my mind, it's like if you're running out of things to say or something. So you, I don't know.
Sheesh.
I really thought you were just sitting there just going like, what the hell have I been doing in my entire life?
No, I like living here. I basically grew up in Orange County since I was 3. So I don't know, if anything, I kind of want to move away, but it's so convenient to live here. Everything is here. Like, not, you know, everything, but enough is here to live here forever.
Well,
if I want
the,
to.
The entertainment industry at large, aside from some parts of New York, is here. So,
yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, there's Atlanta. Toronto is kind of hip and happening with like
London.
Animation, or just Canada in general.
Yeah, we've had some people from Toronto on, but it's like, this is kind of where you'd want to be above all else if you can. And if it works, like it's,
you are going to be paying a lot more, but that's because you're essentially paying for access to all of these things,
mm-hmm.
or really the opportunity to have access to them. But I think that the way to do like LA, it's LA specifically, correctly, is to not live here, to live somewhere else, fly in whenever you need to for like a mm-hmm. week, 2 weeks, really just speed run, see everybody that you want to see. Make those like lasting memories, go do a whole bunch of stuff, and then get out. Yeah. Just leave. And then you could say that you did a whole bunch of things and mm-hmm. you saw a bunch of people, and then you can go back like in another like 3 months. But really, my advice to everyone is just leave.
Joe and I kind of have the second best thing where we're about 30 minutes, 45 minutes of a drive outside LA. So we could go in and do that thing. It's still pretty expensive out where I live, but it's not like LA.
Levels. You have to hold your breath when you go to LA because it's so stinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but if you wanted to, so are you talking about like from a tourist's point of view, like just to see LA?
I think he's talking about it from a content creator's perspective, right?
Yes. I'm talking about that. Like you, okay. you can, if you make videos, like you don't need to be here. You don't need to. It's not like it used to be. I feel like I've been on YouTube since 2007, which seems like I used to say that and go like, that wasn't that long ago. And then look at the what year it is.
Yeah,
like,
Pat, that was 25 years ago at this point. Come on. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a very long time. I've been on the platform for a little bit. So when there was this huge migration to Los Angeles, everyone in the YouTube community was like, oh, well, I need to do that in the same way that like people would go to Hollywood to make it. Right. And I wanted to do that. I was like, oh, I need to get to LA. And then I had this, like, this like bitterness to LA because I knew that like it wouldn't happen. So I was like, I hate LA. I never want to be here. LA sucks. You don't need to be there to make it. And then like fast forward to now, I'm like, and I'm here. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, you don't need to, like, especially not with YouTube, you know, you don't need to be here to make something happen. It does help because you're surrounded by a lot of stuff. But if you're a content creator who's doing very, very well for yourself, you should live in an area where it's kind of a little bit below your means or something, you know, like you live where it's a pretty cheap to live. You make a lot of money. You're able to fly out to LA whenever you want. You film with a bunch of people. You get out, you know, you upload those videos. You don't really need to live here to quote unquote, like make it.
I can imagine like a boomer not knowing exactly what YouTube is. And like their grandson says, I want to be a YouTuber. Like just find a company that's hiring YouTubers. And go apply to the company.
Oh, yeah. Wear a suit, shake the manager's hand, and, you know, just ask him when you can start.
You have to go in there and ask. They love that. They love when you go interrupt their entire operation.
They love when you call every day and just it shows them.
You know when that worked? 1912, and that's about it.
Just that one year. Not 1911, not 1913.
You know? It worked. Yeah, it was really effective that year.
People really loved being annoyed.
Yeah.
And it probably didn't work back then, especially because like there was one person running the shop and you went in there and you're like, hey, can I have a job? And like, no, dude, there's 12 people in this town. There's no job for you here.
You know what I miss? And this is a really trivial complaint about modern society. So just I realize this is a first world problem to bring it up.
Go for it.
I miss the pre-recession era when at the grocery stores, there were like 10 lines open and like. Now it seems like ever since that recession hit, there's always just one dude up there. And if there's 18 people in line, they'll call up a second. Do you guys have that in LA?
Yeah, there's this Ralph's grocery that I go to where there's usually like maybe three people working the registers and they have a self-checkout lane that most people go to. But in early in the morning, if you go in there like 6 a.m., there's a bunch of people stocking shelves and there's nobody at the register. So you have to use the self checkout. And sometimes there's like an attendee to help if you need. But one time when I went there, and I don't know if they realized this, well, I know they didn't realize this, but I went there and nobody was at the checkout lanes. No one was at the self checkout to like help if there was a problem. And the self checkout things were all like turned off. Yeah. So I'm just walking around with like a big thing of like, I just have like, five things of fruit in my hand.
So purchase was impossible at this point. Like you literally could not check out at all.
Yeah, I couldn't. And they were essentially begging me to steal.
I hope you took them up on their offer.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, they were daring me to steal those raspberries. No, I didn't. I went up to someone that, well, hold on. I went up to someone that I thought worked there and they turned around and they're like, oh, I don't work here. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, I do work here, but I'm not working now.
Oh.
Like, okay.
What a useless thing to say.
Yeah, that helps me in no way, sir, but thank you.
Why did you say that second part? You didn't need to.
I just need raspberries.
I hope you ate them as you're walking around.
I used to do that with chips. I would like walk around and eat chips while I was shopping and then just like ask them to scan an empty bag. I'm like, I'm not going to steal this. Technically, I didn't steal it.
Technically.
You're right. Technically, you didn't do anything wrong. Not like if you go to Whole Foods and you fill up your little $8 a pound little buffet box and you walk around the store eating it so it weighs less by the time you check out. I've never done that, but I know people who have, and that's wrong.
Okay, so this is Coffee Dad in the chat. It's a Twitter account about this guy who basically almost every day he posts like a quick tweet about how he's drinking coffee, and then every like 1 in 20 tweets is he's reminiscing about his dead son.
No explanation.
Wow, thank you. This is right up my alley.
This is my favorite Twitter account. He hasn't posted in like a month, but I mean the posts are all the same. It's like need coffee, fresh cup of coffee, want coffee, time for coffee, and then tweeting about how life is short and you should never take it for granted because his son is dead. It's like sunshine and rainbows and then hard dark every like 30 days. It's pretty yeah. glorious.
Yeah. That's what his life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You like coffee? Yeah.
Are you talking to me? You're asking me. I do like coffee. I did have a slight caffeine, not overdose at all, but like I drank way too much caffeine, or I had consumed too much caffeine a couple of days ago, and then I really felt like I was astral projecting. Like it was very bad. It was the amount of caffeine that really made you like question your entire surroundings.
Ooh,
I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Yeah.
Well,
your heart flutters and you're not sure if it's about to give out because it's pumping so fast and you're not doing anything, but it's going like 200 beats a minute.
Yeah, your body needs you to do something or it's going to explode. And I remember me going like, I need a cheeseburger. I need a cheeseburger right now. I have to get a cheeseburger. And I'm like, I felt like a wild animal. Like the only thing that's going to satisfy me right now is a cheeseburger. And so I went around the block and I got a cheeseburger and I ate it so fast. So fast. It was so primal. And then I sat down like, kind of disgusted with myself. I had cheeseburger grease like all over my face, and I was like, okay, not having that much caffeine ever again.
On the other hand, if that's like your biggest vice and the biggest consequence is that you messily devoured a cheeseburger, you're doing all right. Like that's pretty
I also killed a man, but I mean like that. The cheeseburger thing is gross because there was cheeseburger grease all over.
Well, that's a story for another podcast. We can get into that later. Okay. But yeah.
Trust me, this story is much better with fast forward.
When I was in Europe, so they drink only espresso there for the most part, not coffee. But they call it coffee. It's espresso, but they call it coffee. So I'm in a cafe when I first get to England. It's like my second day in England, first full day, I think. And I'm with my friend and his girlfriend, and we go to a little cafe in a town nearby. And they ask I go to the counter to order, and my friend orders first, and she gets like an espresso. And then I'm like, oh, do you just have coffee? She's like, what kind of coffee? I was like, well, I see you have espresso on the menu, but do you have like regular, like, you know, basically coffee with no espresso? And the lady behind the counter is so confused, and she says, coffee with no espresso? That's just water. And so she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm split between, because obviously they don't have coffee yet. So I'm split between trying to explain myself and just ordering the espresso at this point. So I try to explain myself. And she like kind of finally understands. Oh, you want drip coffee? They also call it filter coffee. And so I
like how you went for the awkward choice there. You presented two options. Like, do I carefully explain this weird cultural difference, or do I just go do as the Romans do? And you chose to explain it.
Well, in America, you see.
Yeah. So I order the espresso and sit down. And
she just gives you like a cup of spit.
I guarantee you there was some spit in there. I guarantee
it. It's not going to know the difference.
I guarantee it. I know there was, I know that I drank spit that day.
Yikes. Yeah.
So I developed a taste for espresso. I really like it.
I thought you were going to say spit. Yeah. So now I love spit now. Thank you.
I drink it all day long.
Well, you do.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't really, all right. Do you have a favorite video that you've done? A favorite educational animation?
Favorite video that I've ever done on Life Noggin. We did an episode called Life Noggin IRL. It is a live action Life Noggin video. And then Blocko like came into the real world. It was animation mixed with live action, kind of like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of style. And we're really proud of that. It took a lot of work and I really liked that episode.
How long did it take to make that video?
I think production took about, I'm going to say 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then the actual like animation part of it took another like 2 weeks. It was a good month and change.
And you have a new project, mm-hmm. right, called Undo Circle.
Yes. Very, very excited about that one. I describe it as a doodle group that is dabbling in creative chaos. That's the pitch. But it's a bunch of friends. We sit down and we pick like a drawing challenge to do. And they're always something that makes the drawing either really bad or challenging, to accomplish. We did a video where we tried a bunch of like TikTok challenges. But there was another video where we filmed, it was like 3 p.m. drawing, or no, sorry, we did, drunk Pictionary versus sober Pictionary. And we tried to see which one was more complicated to do. Spoiler, drunk Pictionary is super difficult. It's really, really difficult to do. Yeah, and so I really enjoy playing those games, and it's very much a extreme practice of chaos and art.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, and I see that you've collaborated with Illymation on that too.
We are going to film a video. Yeah, we used to, there was a, it was an old channel called Friends with Answers that we had. And we did, collaborate with her on that. And that was like a video where our friends all sat down and we all kind of like talked about a specific scenario and tried to incorporate some facts in there. And so we had Illy on talk about nightmares. We're going to have Illy on an episode of, another episode, where, I think she's going to read us, give us a tarot card reading. And then we are going to draw that reading.
And some of your recent videos, just to give the audience an idea, recreating famous art using only MS Paint.
Yes.
And I see there's a picture of the Mona Lisa as the thumbnail. Yes.
Yeah, that was mine. didn't do a very good job. but the whole point of the channel really is to not like draw well. It's not to draw well, it's to have a good time drawing. And I really want to encourage people to not worry about how the thing is going to turn out, but just actually do the thing. So that, one, you get practice, but two, you enjoy the practice that you're doing. Yeah, so the whole point, every single video is almost like a creative exercise that you could do yourself. Anybody can do, not just artists.
I see there's one with Billie Eilish blurred out.
Yes. Oh, you figured out who it is.
I mean, was it supposed to be a secret?
Not really. It was just like, I just blurred it so that people were like, is it Billie Eilish? Yeah, we did. We had our friend Ian, describe, outfits at the Oscars, but we couldn't see the photo. We just had to go off his description and then draw that outfit. And it's really difficult. When someone tries to describe an outfit to you, it is very challenging.
What was the description like? Or I guess you just have to watch the video.
Yeah, you watch the video, but I'll to give you an example, if I were to say like, oh, okay, they had like what looked like a golden bird, or a bird crashed into a thing of gold and exploded, and then it froze, and the gold was also melted so that it was able to expand out. Also, they're wearing a dress that looks like it was made of a Game of Thrones intro. Stuff like that. And that's describing, like, what Billy Porter wore to the Oscars.
That could be pretty vague. That, you know, what does a golden bird look like? You know, a lot of things could look like that. So, I mean...
Yeah. So it made for some very, very interesting drawings.
Where do you see this channel going in the future?
Well, we really want to work with more animators and other... artists on YouTube, but what we're really looking forward to is creating stuff that is outside of YouTube. Really want to work on a sketchbook that people can buy that has a bunch of like drawing prompts. I really want to do more interactive stuff that just exists outside of YouTube. I would love to go out, do more out on the street kind of videos and get people to describe outfits to us or describe like their father, and we have to draw their dad and see if we can get it right. You know, stuff like that. I want to do more interactive stuff. I think that it's cool to sit down and have fun with your friends. I think it's one thing to go out there and kind of bring the art to the people. and try to get them involved in the work that you're doing.
What advice do you have for somebody listening who is discouraged to create art because they don't think they're good enough?
Very good question. I would say to you that if you think your art is not good enough, so did every single artist that you like. So look at any artist, any artist that you think is really, really good, and they probably said the same thing about the work that they were doing when they first started out. Expand on every piece that you make so that you can see yourself getting better. And there's always like a point in your life where you kind of, you're making art and you know that you are good at it. I mean, you're not saying that, but you like know that you've worked really hard and you've crafted, you've kind of honed in on your skill and you know how to make something. And you're going to look back on your old DeviantArt and you're going to look at your old photography and then you're going to go, what? What the hell did I do? And that's going to be a point in your life. You're going to get there, but you're not going to get there if you don't keep at it and you don't actually work towards that. And I know it's funny because it's like I'm essentially saying you're going to work to a point where you can cringe at your old artwork. But yeah, you should work to get to that point because you'll know that you've made it and that you've grown as an artist.
That's a great point. And, you know, Lars and I have said the same thing about podcasting. Lars, did you want to tell the story?
Which story?
Just when we started, we weren't, you know, that good at it. We both had, I mean, Lars had done a podcast before, but I hadn't done a podcast, but I had done some other entertainment stuff. And we had a good understanding of entertainment going into the podcast, but you start doing something and you get better over time. You look back and you say, my, how I've improved.
Yeah, but and there should be a feeling of accomplishment. You know, it's not just cringing. You go like, oh yeah, I really did grow as an artist. And yeah. You should compare it to your work now, and you should say, ooh, thank God I grew. You know, and the thing that you should be doing is if you're not enjoying it, if you think that you have or you think you're not good at it or you don't want to pursue it, try not taking it seriously, because, and that's something that we're definitely doing on this Undo Circle channel is not taking it seriously at all. We're taking it seriously in that we're posting every week, but you know, we're having fun with these drawing challenges. And that should be something that you could try, is do these drawing challenges. Look up, there's a whole bunch on TikTok. You can find a bunch on YouTube. And just try those and not, you don't have to post it anywhere.
You're on TikTok?
Undo Circle does have a TikTok, but we haven't posted anything yet. Okay. We are going to, for sure.
Well, I'm on TikTok too, so that was why that caught my ear.
Oh, I need to get more into TikTok. I think TikTok is fascinating, but that's a story for another podcast too.
I was listening to one of your videos from your primary YouTube channel today and about if you don't shower. What happens if you don't shower?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to it at work. If my boss is listening to this, I wasn't listening to it at work. Ha ha ha. That was a joke. Ha ha. But really, I was. I was listening to it at work. And
they just dock your pay.
You're kind of all over the place with that one, Joe.
No, I think the joke was very concise. But I'm pretty sure my coworkers were like, Joe, in their minds, they were probably like, Joe, why are you like, are you considering not showering? And this is your research?
You don't have to. Turns out you'll just get really sick and make everyone miserable and yourself miserable, but you don't have to.
You don't technically have to eat. You don't technically have to sleep. The consequences will be dire, but you don't have to.
Yeah, nobody's forcing you to breathe.
I have a thought, basically just kind of getting back to what you were saying earlier that popped into my head. I've just been listening for this episode more than talking a little bit this time. I noticed you were talking about looking back on your old content and noticing the improvement by noticing how bad it was in comparison. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like a good metric for that is like I was thinking about our content we were doing about a year ago, and I think we actually it was pretty good back then. So I don't know. That feels like a decent metric. Like, what was I up to a year ago, and how am I doing now? And if it's relatively comparable, maybe that means that you've kind of matured as an artist.
you can use that and say like, oh, I'm pretty much the same, or and that's great. You can use that as a kind of a push to, all right, well, what can I throw in here that would kind of change it up a little bit and keep people interested? What can I do to challenge myself more now and not be so, like, you don't have to be complacent. If you want to be like content with what you have, great. That's awesome. But yeah, you can kind of use that as a push to do more.
I was mostly talking about like probably like the first 10 episodes that we did, right, Lars? You remember like the first couple episodes that we did and we were kind of still finding our way?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm of the opinion that I think if people are going to do a podcast, they should do some practice episodes first, which means that they don't go live and you just get used to the idea of talking to someone either in the same room or on air. And those episodes, you really won't want to be out there at some point. You're probably going to have to delete them later. So yeah, I recommend practicing for those.
Well, now you guys have a fully fledged podcast where we all talk about farts and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, and we joke around a lot at the beginning usually, but we kind of have found over time that it's better to get into like a little bit more of a deep discussion on the show to have some sort of substance, usually towards like the middle end, because people will come for the jokes, but I mean, if you're just if all it is penises and pooping and stuff like that, then people aren't going to want to like pay for that or you know, listen long term. It's fun for a laugh, but I found our show, we joke around a lot, but we do try to give people some sort of substance in the episodes these days where we didn't so much in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to elaborate on that, you have the deep subjects and you have the penis subjects. You have to take the deep with the penis.
Exactly.
honestly, stop there.
I do want to say that as time goes on, I myself have found that I'm evolving as a... I went from doing more of a character, I would even call it the Joe character on the show, to doing less of a character. It used to be 90% character, 10% like, you know, my authentic self, to the point where, you know, it switched, or it was 10% of a character, 90% my authentic self, and now it's just 100% my authentic self. I'm not doing a character anymore.
That's awesome.
And a lot of that has to, thank you, a lot of that has to do with being more and more comfortable to be yourself, and some of that requires, you know, really doing some soul searching and trying to understand, why am I feeling like I would have to do a character? Like, am I not confident that I'm entertaining without a character, you know? And so you know, meditation.
I've always found that interesting because I can't relate to that at all. You know, I played myself as myself for this entire run of the podcast, and I've never really felt any of a need for that. So it's like,
Lars and I have talked about this before, Pat, where Lars is, you know, even in life, he's more himself. And for me, I find that I'm wearing many different hats depending on who I'm talking to and the situation that I'm in. So that's why when I'm on a podcast, hosting a podcast, I'm like, which hat am I wearing now? Do I have to make a new hat, the podcast host hat? But for Lars, it's more, and for me, it's less or so that way now. But for Lars, it was always kind of just being himself.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be said about like where you start and like where you finish. But if you feel comfortable with where you are at and how you've always kind of handled yourself, then I mean, there's nothing really to change. It's more like, do you want to add anything? If you don't, cool. Then you know, just kind of like keep going the way that you're going. I think it's great that you haven't had to alter anything. It's been pretty consistent. I think that's awesome.
For Lars?
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, when I was doing the character, it was a little problematic because the choices that I would make would be like, oh, let me be as outrageous as I can be. And it wouldn't end up being entertaining always. Sometimes it would be, or sometimes it wouldn't. Yeah.
By the way, I know we do have to wrap in a few minutes, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I feel like the benefit to just kind of being yourself with this kind of stuff is that everyone who's listening to this right now, you know, whether they're live at discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Or if they're listening to the edited version, when they hear me talk, they're hearing me talk. They're not hearing any sort of character named Lars. They're just, you know, like, people know, they don't have, you know, the full 24/7 picture of me, but they do have like an actual insight into my character. So
And then long term, that is what they're going to subscribe to, and that's when they're going to stay subscribed for, because like that the authenticity and the genuineness of your guys's dynamic and the way you handle things and go about this podcast, that's why they keep coming back. And it's funny at times, and you go into like some deep discussions, and it's a good mix, but ultimately they're here for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of subscribing, Pat, how can people subscribe to Life Noggin?
Well, if you go to youtube.com/LifeNoggin and you click that little subscribe button, I'm assuming you got a Google account, you can hit subscribe and click the bell. If you're into education and animation, we have over 300 videos of teaching you about various things, so please go and check that out. And if you want, you can go ahead and go to Undo Circle, that channel we pretty much just started over again. And you can watch those drawing videos there if you're into it. I'd really appreciate it. You could also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/PatGraziosi, GRAZIOSI.
Life Noggin has almost 500 million views on YouTube. That's incredible.
I didn't even know that.
459 million views.
Wow.
Well, once you get to 500 million, then we'll talk. Then, you know.
Yeah, then I can officially be on the podcast.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Joe.
Yes. Yes, Lauren?
We've been seeing in the chat this week, a couple people have been posting pictures of them wearing the podcast. What's the best way to do that?
That's right, Lars. If you go to merch.t1podcast.com, you'll have access to our full product line of merchandise, as well as podcast paraphernalia, such as shirts, sweaters, pillows, phone cases, stickers, and more. We sell them in all sizes. Are you a fan of coffee?
Yeah.
Do you like to drink coffee on a table?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of a coffee table?
Yeah.
Because there's a picture of a coffee table on our merch store at merch.t1podcast.com. Merch.t1podcast.com. Love you.
By the way, if you've been tuning in for a while and you have 6 cents today and you want to help support the show in a way that gets you bonus episodes of the podcast, early listening privileges as soon as the episodes are done being edited and cleared for posting, and more, as well as a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only channel, and lots of other cool stuff. You can go to patreon.com/T1podcast to help support your favorite content creators, Joe and Lars. I think it's about time to close out the episode. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. This has been a fun one. Thank you, Pat, so much for being with us today and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you guys for listening to the crying podcast also. And it was a short portion of this, but I'm really looking forward to bringing that back. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I almost forgot. I'm crying right now. And Lars, did you have anything else to add?
I was not a participant in the crying portion of the podcast, so no.